Amen, amen. Well, if you brought your Bibles, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verse number 6. And we're just going to jump right into it. We don't have a whole lot of time. And, you know, this is really key to what we're talking about. We read this verse last week, and we're going to look at it again. And this is kind of where we got the series from, actually the series. And we're talking about standing out. We're talking about living a standout life. And last week we played Standout from a Goofy movie, and it was so cool. Standout above. Anyway, but you know what? God wants you to stand out. And really this sermon was birthed from something that God spoke to me recently. And it just seemed like I had gotten into a position where, you know, I'm doing ministry and I'm giving my time, my energy, my effort, my thought, evaluating things, talking to people, my diligence, my devotion, and trying to make stuff happen, trying to build the kingdom of God. You know, I believe that every child of God should have a desire in their heart to serve Jesus. I believe every child of God should have in their heart, God, I want to build the kingdom of God. I want to do something for the name that's above every name. And God, I want to see you come through my life in a mighty way. Can I have a witness in the house tonight? And so, you know, as you endeavor to do that, you know, Because this is life and life happens, you're gonna run into different things that, you know, throw curveballs at you. And so for me recently, one of the things I was doing is I was just giving all of this human effort. And after I had sown all this human effort, it just seemed like, man, God, I'm not seeing the fruit that matches the effort. Like, it just seems like, God, it's just not, what I'm doing is not having the impact that God, I think it should have, or that I expected, or that I see the word of God tells me should happen. And it's almost like God spoke to me in that moment. And actually, I didn't even realize I was operating that way, except that the Holy Spirit came along and spoke something to my heart. And when God speaks to me, he usually does so through Bible verses, not all the time, but Bible verses, and not like a whole Bible verse, but just little segments of ones. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? And I know when I hear that, like, okay, now it's my job to go look that up in the Bible and find that and read it and hear what God is saying for my life in this moment. And so what God spoke to me was just the simple phrase, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And I was like, I know that. I've heard that before, maybe not in a little bit. And so I went and looked it up, Matthew chapter 6. And so here we are in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 6. And Jesus says this. He says, but you, he says, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I wonder tonight if anybody else has ever been there in life where it just seems like you're putting in all this energy, all this effort, you're using all of your resource, and it's just like, it's just not cutting it. Anybody else been there? It's just not happening. It's just not, I don't see the fruit, and I don't see the impact that I feel like I should be seeing. And what God spoke to me through this verse is that, hey, look it. Diligence, yes. Great job, Joey. Great job. Devotion, yes. Great job. Effort, yes. Energy, yes. Your resources, you know, God wants to see us give our lives for his cause. Amen. But how many of you realize that it's going to take more than just our devotion, more than just our diligence, more than just our evaluations and our understanding? It's going to take God on what we're doing to make the difference in what we're doing. It's going to take God, and when God is on it, all of a sudden he brings our lives to life. All of a sudden we become fruitful. All of a sudden we find ourselves anointed. We find what we're doing making an impact when God comes into our life. And when God is the one who's as you, if you will, putting the super on our natural so that we experience the supernatural. You follow me today? Pastor Joe, how did you get all that out of this verse? Well, let's look at it one more time. Let me see if I can explain here. He says, but you, he says, when you pray, maybe tonight we should just stop right there and ask ourselves, what kind of a prayer life do we have? Maybe tonight you're putting in all the effort, the energy, the you know, what you know to put in to your life to make something happen. But the question tonight is, what kind of, or in other words, are you on a path to cultivate your relationship with God? Because we can put in all the energy, effort that we want, and if we don't have a prayer life, if we're not opening up our Bibles and we're reading our Bibles and passionately pursuing God, just like the song said tonight, he passionately pursues us, but how many of you realize today, we also need to passionately pursue him? So he says, when you pray, and for me, that's like a challenge. Like, you know, where's your relationship with God at? I don't think we're here tonight to say, are you saved or unsaved? We'll get to that a little bit later. But in your Christian life, how much are you pursuing God? Because I found over the Christian life, there can be times and seasons where you and I, because of busyness, because of distraction, because of different things, can forget about, and all of a sudden, our relationship with God becomes second place. All of a sudden, our relationship with God takes the back burner, and then we wonder why things aren't happening the way that they should be happening, and maybe we need to go back to step number one and just get with God and do some praying. Come on, somebody. Can I have an amen? So he says, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. I like that, and I think that's a word today for this generation. For our generation, young, old, male, female, big, small, whatever, black, white, Hispanic, whatever, all the people alike, all right? And the word is this, that with all the information and the technology and the social media, right, the internet at our fingertips, I think you and I oftentimes, when it comes to our life, we turn to everyone and everything else before we turn to God to find out what we need and what we need to know in order to carry out his will for our lives. Thank you for those few amens right over there. Amen. That was good. That was a good place to say amen. Because I've been there. I've been there, and it's like, man, I'll go to my parents, I'll go to my wife, I'll go to my kids and my dog sometimes before I go to Jesus. And Jesus is standing here like the whole time, like, I'm the one with the answers. I'm the one with the information that you need. I'm the one with the inspiration that you need. I'm the one with the revelation that you need to carry out your life in a successful way. So go to your Father who is in the secret place. Hello, somebody. Before you go to your best friend, before you turn to Dr. Phil, Oprah Winfrey, whoever it is, can I just be so bold and so blunt? Before you go to your favorite preacher, how about you turn to Jesus Christ, who is the one who put preachers in their place? Because you have the Holy Spirit too. So he says, go to your Father who is in the secret place. And then he says here, and your Father who sees in secret, he will reward you. And the key word here is openly. See, the promise here is that God wants to reward you. As you and I diligently seek him, God will reward you and me. We don't have it up on the overhead tonight, but in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, if you don't believe tonight that God is the kind of God who rewards, you're not going to seek him. But if somehow the Holy Spirit can get into your heart that God is a person who rewards, that God is a God who blesses, that God is a God who all of a sudden comes into your life and does things that you never imagined when you seek him, then that will drive you to the place where you actually seek him, and then you will experience what you see in Scripture in your life. So he says that God is a rewarder, and once again, the key word here is openly. God wants to reward you openly. That means when God begins to reward you, when God begins to bless you, when God begins to do things in your life, it's going to be public, y'all. It's going to get some people's attention. When God comes into a life, you can't hide that. Do you know what I'm saying tonight? Right? Wasn't it Jesus who said, you know what? If you light a candle, you know you're not supposed to put it underneath a basket or a light that's supposed to be on the hill. But God is not the kind of God who does things, and when he does things, nobody knows. He's just too great. He's just too glorious. He's just too majestic to do stuff like that. When he shows up in your life, it's bound to get somebody's attention. It's bound to get somebody's attention. And so it's from this thought that we get this idea of standing out. And we said last week that God wants you to live a standout life, a life where you're standing out, not for your praise, not for your acclamation, but for his glory. And when you live that way and God gets the glory, all of a sudden you'll find that what God does in your life begins to draw other people to him. And then he has access to their life, and he begins to bring them to where? To salvation, to healing, to joy, to all kinds of stuff. To all kinds of stuff as a result of you standing out, right? That's why he says you need to be salt and light. Salt stands out, right? Light stands out in the darkness. We need to live lives that are standout lives. And so what I wanted to do tonight really quick is I just wanted to clarify. what it means and what it looks like to live a standout life. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I go back and I listen to the messages I preach, and I'm real critical, and I ask my wife, like, did this make any sense to you? Is this helping anybody? Is this? And so I went back and listened to last week, and one of the things I felt like God wanted me to say to you tonight is to begin to bring some specificity to what it means to live a standout life. You follow me? So what does that look like? Well, when I think of a standout life, I think of somebody, I think of Bible characters like Joseph in the book of Genesis. And in Genesis chapter 39, and we're not going to read the verses tonight, but I'll just give you the reference. Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 6, you'll find the story of Joseph when he was sold to the Egyptian by the name of Potiphar. He had been sold into slavery by his brothers to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites took him from his home, took him to Egypt, and resold him. And he became a slave. Now, when you think of a standout life, hopefully you don't think of slavery. I know that I don't, right? You follow me today. But even in a position of a slave, Joseph lives a standout life. And so he's sold to this man by the name of Potiphar. And Joseph becomes so successful as a slave that his master Potiphar literally turns over everything in his possession, his household, his belongings, the people in his household, over into the care of Joseph. The Bible goes as far as to say that Potiphar didn't even know what belonged to him except for the food he was putting in his mouth in that moment. I like that. Somebody said, That's how I feel when I read that. I think that's amazing. I think that's awesome. Right? And so the Bible makes these statements about Joseph, and it says, I went through those first six verses and I listed them out, and I just want to share them with you. It says this, it says that the Lord was with Joseph. That's what's going to help you live a standout life, is when the Lord is with you. I think we kind of already talked about that. But then it says that because the Lord was with Joseph, as a result, Joseph was a successful man. How many of you here want to be successful in your life? Any failures? Any failures? Any failures? Any takers for the failure? You want to be a failure? No, hopefully not. If you want to be a failure, you need to come up after service. We need to pray for you. You don't want to be, you want to be a success. And where other people have failed, you want to be successful, right? And it says that Joseph was a successful man. It goes as far as saying that Joseph, everything he put his hand to prospered. We were just talking about, man, I'm putting in all this energy, all this effort, trying to make things happen, trying to get my education, trying to get my girlfriend, trying to get my car, my house, my spouse, my whatever. Right? And it's just not happening. But the Bible says that when God is with you, all of a sudden you begin to live a standout life, in that you are successful in your life where other people have failed. So it says that Joseph was a successful man. It says also, everything that he put his hand to prospered. And then it says this, that Joseph found favor in the sight of his master. I think it's safe to say that one of the ways that God wants you to live a standout life is as it relates to having favor with others. I feel like I'm talking to some people who have gone home or gone to sleep. I don't know about you, but I found myself in a time and a place where I needed the favor of others. I needed an in when I didn't have an in. And I'm here to tell you today, when God gets in your life, what you're going to find is that he's going to bring you to a place of favor with others. It's just unbeknownst to them and unbeknownst to you, they just like you for some reason, more so than they should, because if you consider the amount of time they've known you, they shouldn't like you that much, but they just like you. Just somehow they're just drawn to you. Just somehow they want to get involved with what you're involved with. Just for some reason they just want to help out for no reason. And my friends, the reason is that you have found favor in their sight as a result of God being in your life. And so Joseph found favor in the sight of his master. And then it says this, and I like this so much. And God blessed Potiphar for Joseph's sake. That's legit, y'all. I think that's a word for somebody here today. See, you this whole time you've been counting your situation out. You've been counting your school out. You've been counting your friends out. You've been counting your family out. And you have forgotten that God will bless where you're at for your sake. As much as you don't like that job, God will bless that place for your sake. As much as you don't get along with your family, God will work out some things in your family and bless that family for your sake. Kind of reminds me of God's promise to Abraham, right? In blessing, I will bless you. You will be a blessing to the nations. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And I believe that that's a reality for our lives today, that God wants to bless us, cause our lives to be a blessing to others, bless others for our sake. See, that's a standout life. That's a standout life. What else do I think of? Oh, actually, let me say this. See if I can explain this a little bit better. When God gets involved, when God is with you and involved in what you're doing, okay, it takes you to this new level. And I think of, have you guys seen the 2007 movie Ratatouille, Disney and Pixar? If you haven't, great movie. You got to go get it. You got to go check it out. You got to rent it. I'm sure it's on Netflix or Hulu or whatever, all right? I'm sure it's there. Cartoon, all right? Great cartoon, though. So there's this character, and his name is Remy, right? And Remy has this unbelievable ability to smell and to taste. And it's so unbelievable that he's able to put these, you know, these different foods together that nobody else would have put together. And he makes these just incredible entrees and these incredible foods, all right? And so his dream is to become, you know, a master chef. Only problem is he's a rat. Like, who's going to eat the food that a rat touched? And so he goes to the big city and he finds this this young man, Alfredo, and Alfredo is probably a young adult, I would imagine him to be, and he's in this restaurant, and he's kind of like last on the totem pole, right? He's like the cleanup crew. He's like the little assistant. He's like the guy that everybody yells at because they're mad at their superiors, but they can't yell at their superiors, so they just yell at him, right? And so, make a long story short, the rat and Alfredo get in connection, and Alfredo hides Remy in his chef's hat. And then Remy from the chef's hat has Alfredo do everything that he does, and before he knows it, Alfredo has national attention. He has like national. He's like nationally acclaimed because of the dishes that he's putting together, and nobody knows how he's doing it. It's the rat that's hidden that nobody else can see that's making the difference in his life. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? See, just because you can't see God doesn't mean he's not real. And just because you can't see God doesn't mean he's not active in your life. And when a world looks at you and they see what God is doing, all of a sudden you're going to start to get attention and you're going to live a standout life. And then that's when it's your opportunity to say, let me introduce you, not to Remy, but to this man by the name of Jesus Christ who made all the difference in my life and changed me. That's what it was for Joseph. What else do I think of when I think of a standout light? I think of Jesus. How could we leave Jesus out of this, right? How could you leave Jesus when you're talking about living a life that stands out? In Luke chapter 4, verse number 14, actually we read this last week, but I thought it was important to read it again because we're going to pull a new point from it. It says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. So we see Jesus now, all of a sudden, news of him is going out into the whole region, and people are going around saying, hey, have you heard of this guy by the name of Jesus? Have you heard of what he's saying? Have you heard of what he's doing? Have you heard of this guy? And like, Jesus is getting this, you know, all this attention. Now, how is he getting this attention? Well, I believe the key is at the beginning of the verse. It says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. It was the power of the Spirit that caused Jesus to live a standout life. You see, before this time, to just give you a little bit of history here, Jesus has now returned from the desert. All right, let me back up just a little bit. Jesus has just been baptized. Right after he's baptized, right, the Holy Spirit comes down on him like a dove. There's this voice from heaven that says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And immediately after that, he's driven into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil 40 days and 40 nights. Now, before this happens, you don't hear about Jesus. Like, Jesus is not getting national attention. Jesus is, you know, people are not talking about him. News of him is not spreading throughout the region. It's not until he goes through the desert and returns in the power of the Spirit that all of a sudden now Jesus begins to live a standout life. Do you follow me today? It's the power of the Spirit on Jesus's life, as it will be the power of the Spirit on your life, that's going to cause you to stand out. You might say it this way, that God is looking to anoint his people, and the anointing of God on your life for what God has called you to do, for who God has called you to be, for where God has called you to go, is going to be the thing that makes the difference and causes you to stand out. Causes you to be able to succeed where others have failed. Causes you to be able to do what others cannot do. Causes you to go beyond what people have called the limit. It's when you're anointed. I like this so much because I believe that Jesus really reiterates this fact in verse number 18. We just read verse number 14. Now let's go to verse number 18, because now Jesus has returned, and this is what he says. Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." You know, you can preach, but there's a whole nother level when you begin to preach under the anointing of God. "Because he has anointed me to preach to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That's what a standout life looks like. A standout life looks like a life that is anointed by God. And that anointing, that empowerment, that power of the Holy Spirit makes all the difference. I've heard story after story after story of people who couldn't get out of sin, and then they met up with the Holy Ghost and they got empowered, and all of a sudden that sin was no longer a problem in their life. I once knew a man who was about to go up on a stage, and he was about to do a rap song, and he was scared and shaking in his boots. But once he got up there and he began to speak the word of God through that rap song, he turned into a whole new person, and he was literally standing outside himself thinking like, "Oh my gosh, who is this person right here?" It was me. I'm just kind of told that third person like Paul did. I remember the first time, it was years ago, the first time Pastor David Archibek, I don't even know, most of you probably don't even know who that is. Pastor David Archibek used to be a worship leader here, and he asked me to put this rap together for, the song was Rain Down. Why are you laughing? That's jacked up. And so I went home and I prayed and I wrote out these lyrics, these bars, these verses, and I was ready to spit fire, you know what I'm talking about. And I remember I went through the practice, and it was like, "When it rains, it pours, his love is worth more." And I was like, "Oh my gosh." So then service day comes, and of course, if you've been over there to our main sanctuary, it's, you know, seats almost 3,000 people, 2,500, something like that. And there's all these people in there, and I'm literally like, you know, you get so nervous sometimes, you just feel like passing out. Like, I was there. And I'm thinking to myself, "Oh my God, what if I forget my words? What if I trip and fall? What happens if I miss the beat? What happens?" And so the cue came, the beat came, and I ran out there and I grabbed this microphone. And the moment I start to say, "Because when it rains, it pours," the Holy Ghost took over. Come on, somebody. And I was like screaming. And listen, it wasn't a hype thing. It wasn't a moment thing. It wasn't like Eminem says, "Lose yourself in the moment." Had nothing to do with that. I was scared out of my wits, and the Holy Spirit came through, and it was like a fire from the inside was coming out while I was saying those lyrics. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I remember another time I was in Bible college, and one of the things we had to do is we had to put together a mini sermon, like a 5-minute ordeal. I should have learned from that. Anyways, and we had to preach it. And so what we did, actually, Luke and I, we went to Bible college together. And so we practiced on one another. And he did his sermon for me, and I did my little mini sermon for him. And the same thing happened right there in the hallway of our little duplex. That's what we lived in, a little duplex, right there in the hallway. And I got to this part where I was talking about, you know, do you believe that what the Bible says is true? Do you believe things like you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Do you believe? And I got this one part, I said, do you believe? And sometimes I don't even know where it came from because I don't talk like that. That by his stripes, you are healed. And it was just like, whoa, what happened? That was the Holy Ghost coming out. That's the anointing. That's the anointing. And you know, the anointing is not reserved for a platform. You can have the anointing right there on your job as a teacher. You can have the anointing right there on your job as a clerk. You can have your anointing right there on your job as a manager, as a person in sales. You could have your anointing. I believe God is looking for some people who are in sales who are like, some person like, can you get that piece of clothing down for me? Yes, I will. And you know what? I believe the Lord is telling me that you've got this and that going on in your life, and he wants to heal that. So in the name of Jesus, right there in the store. It's the anointing that causes you to live a standout life. That's what it looks like. And then finally today, as we close, when I think of living a standout life, I think of Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7, it says this. This is Paul talking, and he says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Now, there's this little term here. It says, lest I should be exalted above measure. That sounds like standing out to me, okay? Now, let me say a couple of things about this, okay? First is, you need to understand what Paul is talking about. And Paul, he was just talking about being taken to heaven. He says, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows, but I experienced some things. I saw some things. I heard some things, and they were marvelous, and they were glorious. In fact, I can't even really talk about them because it would be unlawful for me to talk about them. And so he comes along here, and he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. And that's really the part I want to focus on is it was revelation that caused Paul to stand out. Now, I feel like I need to say this because I know that I'm glad that I see Bibles open. I'm glad that you bring your Bible to church. Amen. Some of your translations say, instead of, unless I be exalted above measure, they write there that what Paul is really saying is, unless I become boastful or proud or arrogant or conceited. Now, personally, I'm just be very honest with you. Personally, I believe that is minimizing what Paul is saying. And I'll tell you why. Okay? First is, why would the devil be after Paul if his issue was getting into pride and conceit? The devil, I know, it doesn't matter if God is doing something in your life or not, he will encourage pride. He will encourage conceit. He will encourage you to be boastful. You follow me today? You say, oh, no, and you get people to do this. I'm used to this, right? And so, my other thought, you follow me? You follow me? I don't know how well I'm doing explaining this, but notice what it says. It says that a messenger of Satan was given to buffet him, lest he be exalted above measure, or if you want to say that way, lest he be conceited or boastful or proud. But here's the other thought that I have. The other thought is that if you go back and you look at the fact that Paul was not really allowed to talk about what he experienced, how could you really be boastful or proud about that? Do you follow me? It's kind of like if that's your interpretation of the scriptures here, then it's kind of like, you know what you're saying is that Paul was boastful and proud about an experience he had, but that he wasn't really allowed to talk about. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit. And what I believe happened here is that whatever Paul heard and saw, he calls it a revelation. That is kind of a fancy word. It's a fancy term for saying that something was shown to him that he didn't know before that. It was revealed. It was a truth or truths revealed. And how many of you realize today that when the truths of God are revealed to your life, they will take you to a whole nother plane in life. You will live on a whole nother level. See, it's for this reason I believe we see in John chapter 8, verse number 32, it says, Jesus says this, he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's not till you know the truth that it will have the ability to make you free in your life. The reason why you're not free is because you don't know what you need to know in order to be free. But all of a sudden, when you get the truth, now it's going to set you free. Now it's going to make you free. Now it's going to take you to a whole different level in your life. Are you following me today? So what I'm saying to you out loud is what we need for our lives in order to stand out is we need the Word of God and we need the Holy Spirit to begin to reveal truths to us about who God is, about His will for our life, about how He works, how the things of God work. And as we come to understand, all of a sudden, that will take us to a new level. We'll be living a standout life. See, for me, what happened to Paul was whatever he received, he started to put that to practice in his life, and he started to stand out, both to others and to the devil. That's why the devil showed up and was like, I'm going to get this fool. Right? Like, the devil's not infinite like God is. Like, he doesn't know everything. He doesn't have, you know, unlimited resource. He's limited. So how many realize today that the devil is gonna be strategic in who he goes after? He's going to go after the people who are making a bigger difference than others. Listen, tonight, if you're not doing anything for God, I don't know that the devil's really after you, okay? He might be after somebody else who's doing more so for God, because those are the people that he needs to confront in order to make sure that his plan comes to pass and God's doesn't. And that's why I believe... That's what I believe happened here, that Paul began to live on such a level that he stood out among everybody else. And the devil was like, I see that guy right there. I got to stop him. I've got to stop him. And so as you and I get these truths into our lives, as we open up God's word, pursue God, and let the Holy Spirit speak to us, we'll get the truths that we need and we'll live a standout life. If you got something good from God's word, come on, go ahead and give him a great...